And now for reading and writing and radio.
Meg, Beth, and Amy were sitting together late in the afternoon when Joe burst into the room looking excited and demanding breathlessly, "Has anyone taken my composition book?" Meg and Beth said no at once and looked surprised. Amy poked the fire and said nothing. Joe saw her color rise and was down upon her in a minute. "Amy, you've got it." "No, I haven't." "You know where it is, then?" "No, I don't." "That's a fib," cried Joe, taking her by the shoulders and looking fierce enough to frighten a much braver child than Amy. "It isn't. I haven't got it, don't know where it is now, and don't care." "You know something about it, and you'd better tell at once, or I'll make you," and Joe gave her a slight shake. "Scold as much as you like. You'll never see your silly old book again," cried Amy, getting excited in her turn. "Why not?" "I burnt it up." "What? My little book I was so fond of and worked over and meant to finish before Father got home? Have you really burnt it?" said Joe, turning very pale while her eyes kindled and her hands clutched Amy nervously. "Yes, I did. I told you I'd make you pay for being so cross yesterday, and I have, so—" Amy got no further, for Joe's hot temper mastered her, and she shook Amy till her teeth chattered in her head, crying in a passion of grief and anger, "You wicked, wicked girl! I never can write it again, and I'll never forgive you as long as I live!" Meg flew to rescue Amy and Beth to pacify Joe, but Joe was quite beside herself, and with a parting box on her sister's ear, she rushed out of the room up to the old sofa in the garret and finished her fight alone. The storm cleared up below, for Mrs. March came home, and having heard the story, soon brought Amy to a sense of the wrong she had done her sister. Joe's book was the pride of her heart and was regarded by her family as a literary sprout of great promise. It was only half a dozen little fairy tales, but Joe had worked over them patiently, putting her whole heart into her work, hoping to make something good enough to print. She had just copied them with great care and had destroyed the old manuscript so that Amy's bonfire had consumed the loving work of several years. It seemed a small loss to others, but to Joe it was a dreadful calamity, and she felt that it never could be made up to her. Beth mourned as for a departed kitten, and Meg refused to defend her pet. Mrs. March looked grave and grieved, and Amy felt that no one would love her again till she had asked pardon for the act which she now regretted more than any of them. When the tea bell rang, Joe appeared, looking so grim and unapproachable that it took all Amy's courage to say meekly, "Please forgive me, Joe. I'm very, very sorry." "I shall never forgive you," was Joe's stern answer, and from that moment she ignored Amy entirely.
That family squall is from the book Little Women, written by Louisa May Alcott in 1868. Does your family sometimes have stormy weather, too?
WSSR Radio at Sangamon State University presents Reading and Writing and Radio, a program about creative writing. Your host is Jacqueline Jackson, children's author and professor of literature at Sangamon State University.
In my Sangamon State class, Classics of Children's Literature, we read lots of good books. One is a family story, Louisa May Alcott's Little Women, written almost 120 years ago. Meg, Joe, Beth, and Amy put on elaborate dramas, played a continuing game of Pilgrim's Progress, and thought up many other imaginative things to do together. And, as our opener has just indicated, there were family upsets that came up, too. Another book we read is Laura Ingalls Wilder's Little House on the Prairie. That was written almost 60 years ago, but about days that were almost 100 years ago. The Little House books are full of the games that Laura and Mary played and the stories that they heard and told. and there are also many family stories, the things that happened to them. Both these books are basically true. They're fiction, yes, but they're based on Louisa May Alcott's growing up with three sisters and Laura Ingalls Wilder's also growing up with three sisters, back when she was Laura Ingalls. In my class, I usually have the students write a review of each book that they read, but for these two books, I say, don't write a review, write me a family story. What were your family activities? What games did you play as a kid? How did you get along? One of the stories that was in class last spring was Love and Hate by Patty Childs. She's a young woman who has a son in the fourth grade at Pleasant Hills School in Springfield. And I found Patty's story so interesting and so well written that I want to share it with you. It's a rich little story, and you'll like Patty's storytelling style. Notice how she includes you, the listener, by talking directly to you about the action and asking for your thoughts on the action and telling her own thoughts and feelings. Patty, incidentally, also comes from a family of four sisters. So here is Love and Hate by Patty Childs. To understand this story, you have to know a little about sisters or a little about Barbie dolls. There were four sisters, Sherry, Marcia, Patty, and Debbie. Sherry was 16 and busy with all those things 16-year-olds think are important. Debbie was only one and busy with diapers and bottles. Marcia was 12 and Patty was 7. They were the only two at a decent age to know what was really fun in life. Marcia and Patty would spend hours playing the neatest stuff you can imagine. They would take out the cruddy old blankets and drape them over the picnic table. Presto! The picnic table magically became a covered wagon. Marcia, being a tad bossy, would pick the prettiest old-fashioned name for herself and claim the top half of the covered wagon. Patty usually got stuck underneath, but that was okay. Underneath wasn't as special as up top, but she was much safer from surprise Indian attacks. By the end of an afternoon, the underneath was usually packed with assorted pioneers from up and down the block. Everyone liked to play in the Hinman girls' yard. If the girls weren't exploring in their covered wagon, they were occupied with Barbies. Marcia had two Barbies and one Ken doll. Patty had a Barbie, a Midge, Barbie's best friend, and a little Skipper doll. Other girls liked to sit in their bedrooms and dress and undress their Barbies, not Marcia and Patty. When they played Barbies, it was usually outdoors. Their whole yard was Barbie land. The house where they grew up had a small front yard, a medium-sized backyard, and a huge side lot. Not a Barbie in the world could ask for anything grander. Now, to really understand, you are going to have to shut your eyes and picture it. Don't know what that's for. There was a garden, apple trees, peach trees, lilac bushes, a swing set, a teeter-totter, a tire sand pile, bleeding heart plants, tulips, flowering bushes, and most important, two huge weeping willow trees, one of which had a tire swing. Dad was a contractor with a great imagination. One day he dug two holes over by the lilacs. On one side he poured cement, about the size of a medium pizza. This was a swimming pool for Marcia's Barbie. He put little drips of cement out of the pool. These would serve as Barbie's stepping stones. Marcia, being the romantic type, wanted her pool fancy, so Dad gave her some white paint to fix it up. Patty was more the tomboy type and didn't care for a fancy pool at all. She just wanted hers deep so Barbie could get a real workout. Dad made Patty's pool so deep that only Barbie's eyes and nose peeped out from above the water. It was Barbie heaven. Marcia and Patty would spend hours under the lilacs with their dolls, always thinking up new ways to make the paradise better. Once they spent a whole afternoon digging up moss from the side of the garage and transplanting it near the pools. Everyone knows moss is fairy carpet, and this made the pools twice as special. Things weren't always paradise in Barbie heaven. Some days Sandy would come over. Sandy was quiet and shy and really sweet, but she was Marcia's age. Any of you who have brothers or sisters know what that means. When Sandy came over, Patty was out. Two's company, three's a crowd. This time, though, it seemed different. Marcia and Sandy were calling for Patty. No such luck. They didn't want her to play, only to borrow her Midge doll. Patty loaned it willingly. Maybe if they saw how nice she could be, they would eventually let her play. Patty sulked inside and took a familiar spot on the kitchen stool. Mom was busy peeling potatoes for supper. Patty poured out her troubles to her mom's sympathetic ear. Life was awful. Patty was bored. There was absolutely, positively nothing to do. Mom made some terrible suggestions. Clean your room, read a story, play with baby Debbie, ride the bike, get out the stilts. Ugh, who would want to do those things? Marcia was having fun playing with icky old Sandy. That's what Patty wanted to do. The more she thought about it, the more she hated that stupid Sandy. Maybe she even hated dumb Marcia, too. Patty left the kitchen and went to be alone in the bedroom. There she could really think. The more she thought, the more she convinced herself how terrible Marcia was. In fact, Marcia was probably the most rotten sister on the face of this planet. Finally, it was supper time. Good. That meant Sandy had to go home. Now that Sandy left, you would think that Marcia and Patty would make up and everything would be right again. Boy, are you wrong. The worst was yet to come. Patty was still mending her bruised feelings and had to think of some way to get back at Marcia. In as snotty a manner as she could muster, she demanded back her Midge doll. Marcia hesitated, then finally went to get it. Patty couldn't believe her eyes. They had mutilated Midge. Marcia tried to explain. Sandy didn't have a Ken doll, and they needed another boy. They had whacked Midge's hair to a near buzz. How could they? How dare they? But Marcia and Sandy hadn't stopped with a mere haircut. Oh, no, they had gotten one of Dad's hammers and beat her womanly chest as flat as a board. Midge was ruined. Not even Dad could repair such damage. Patty threw Midge to the floor and stomped away. She hated Marcia as much as any one human being could hate another. She could hear Marcia promising to make it up to her. Fat chance. Nobody can make up for something that horrible. Patty spent the rest of the evening brooding in her bedroom. Slowly, her heart softened a tiny bit. Patty was a terrible grudge holder, but maybe, just maybe, she might forgive her sister. She didn't have a boy doll either. Maybe she could use Midge for a boy after all. It wouldn't be like having a Ken doll, though. Midge made a pretty ugly boy. Someone knocked on the door. Patty opened it. She looked up, then down. There was Marcia on both knees, holding the crook of her arm out to Patty. "My dear, would you please join me for dinner and a beautiful evening?" said Marcia. Now how can you hate a sister like that? The girls had played this game before. Patty loved it. Marcia escorted Patty down the hall and into the dining room. Mom had given her permission to use the crystal glasses. They were beautiful, delicate amber glass with long stems. In the center of the table was a cold bottle of Pepsi wrapped in a white dish towel. Marcia poured each of them a drink. They sipped and giggled and pretended to be the most elegant people you've ever met. Patty was lucky to have such a wonderful sister. Marcia loved her, and she loved Marcia. It was bedtime already. Tomorrow they would play together. Hate and love, all in the span of one day. It seemed impossible. But you know it's true, don't you? All of you who have a sister or brother or special close friend, you know this isn't make-believe. It happens just the way I've told it, and it happens most every day. Well, there are many writing topics suggested by this story. These occur to me. What imaginative games did you play when you were younger? What imaginative play do you participate in now? I know a group of boys who regularly play a kind of real-life Dungeons and Dragons that lasts whole weekends. I myself played Indians with my brother and sisters for one whole summer. We had flags, headdresses, a hut, ceremonies, and skirmishes with the local Boy Scout camp. Another topic is left out. When were you left out of the play, and why? How did you feel? When did you leave somebody else out? Why? Give all the details. How well I remember moping around the kitchen once when I was 8 or 9 years old, wailing to my mother when my older sisters and their friends had left me out of a secret society they had formed. And then take a look at the title of Patty's story, Love and Hate. That gives ideas. For after Patty and her sister make up comes this final paragraph that you've just heard, and I'll read it again. Hate and love, all in the span of one day. It seemed impossible, but you know it's true, don't you? All of you who have a sister or brother or special close friend, you know this isn't make-believe. It happens just the way I've told it, and it happens most every day. So for your writing today, tell us the way that it's happened in your family.
WSSR Radio has presented Reading and Writing and Radio. Send your writings to Jacqueline Jackson, Sangamon State University, Springfield, Illinois, 62708.